Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another week. You're here with me, Nick. And I'm joined by my good buddy, Ronnie. How's it going there, bud?
Yeah, it's going great. How's it going there?
Yeah, not so great on this side. I had to see us lose to the Irish at Kings Park. I feel like I've watched us lose a few too many games at that stadium now.
True. Also, very true. But there was a post on Reddit that somebody complained about the fact that we haven't won at Kings Park since 2000. And I did a quick search on that. And we've won quite a few games at Kings Park, quite a few epic games. We beat the All Blacks there. We beat the British and Irish Lions there. We played Scotland. You know, that Kings Park has been blessed with some great test matches over the years. But you're right. First loss to Argentina a couple of years ago. That was there. So, yeah, good and bad at Kings Park.
Yeah, not ideal. Hey, that's for sure, Ronnie. So down at Kings Park, it is a stadium that I really love. I mean, their beer tent is phenomenal. It really was so spacious, so easy to grab a dorp, good music on. But before we went to the game, we went to grab some breakfast at the village there by Mshlanga. And Ronnie, at 10 o'clock in the morning, that place was packed to the brim with Oaks in their Bok jerseys already. So the festivities kicked off very, very early on Saturday.
Understandable. It's a very big test match and the guys are thirsty. And it's hot. Was it hot?
Yeah, it was. It was like a 26-degree day down there, so that was quite lekker. But a lot of people seem to have made the trip down from Gauteng, which was quite cool to see.
So it is a good and is an enjoyable experience. But now, having been there, do you rate it better than Loftus?
Look, Loftus has definitely improved a lot. I have to give them credit for that. The new way they do the beer tent, this thing of the guys carrying cooler boxes around and selling beers as well is really helping with the queues. But Kings Park overall experience for the fans still beats Loftus for me.
I don't know so much, but okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you're going to have to come back to South Africa and join me for one of these, Ronnie, so you can add your 2 cents in.
Who knows? Maybe next year.
There we go. What did you do this weekend? Where did you watch the game?
Unfortunately, here in Spain, it is quite challenging watching from, you know, outside of South Africa. And, you know, the TV broadcasters here don't necessarily have the rugby. There's no like super sport, you know, that we're used to. So you always have to find a streaming solution and things can get quite challenging. Suddenly the streams buffer and it's slow or it's pixelated. Yeah, I do something, you know, as pricey as DSTV is, it is sometimes nice to just be able to flip through super sport and watch your programs in HD.
Yeah, it's quite convenient to have super sport for that. That's for sure. But yeah, at least when you are watching on these streams, are you managing to get South African commentary or not?
Yeah, so Stan Sport that we are currently using, they had the South African broadcaster on. So I was listening to Matthew Pierce, which was nice because it's refreshing to listen to him and Shimmy and Skalkberger on the side of the field, far better than other commentators.
I had a laugh, Ronnie, before kickoff at the stadium. They came in there with a rickshaw. And Beast was in the back of the rickshaw. And every time that Oak jumped, it looked like he was going to do a backflip over with Beast White pulling him up like a catty.
Yeah, no, Beast isn't built for a rickshaw.
No, that's for sure. Ronnie, let's get over to the action then, because it was another packed weekend for international rugby, starting on Friday night, Friday morning, Saturday morning. I don't know, whatever the time zone you were in, that's when it started. But Tonga 14, 36 to Italy, in Italy ensuring they remain in the top 10, actually hopping the Wallabies in the world rankings again with that win after a loss the previous weekend.
So my question to you is, do you remember who you picked last week for this game?
I picked Tonga.
Yeah. Just making sure you know you were wrong. I picked Italy. Oh, smart. You know,
always
listen to Ronnie.
Where are you on the log, Ronnie? 1,600 and something.
No, I'm at least top five. But yeah, so well done to Italy. They acclimatized well to those Pacific Island conditions and finally getting a well-deserved win.
There we go. Ronnie, then over to the United States of America, who went down at home 7 points to 42 against Scotland. Johan van der Merwe is now the top tied try scorer for the Scots, with Hoggy. Both have scored 27. It was a 6-1 victory for the Scots.
Yeah, but a convincing win. Nice for Scotland to pull that off. It's a shame that they got a bit of a... I obviously don't want to insult USA and Canada and Chile, but it is a bit of a less exciting tour to the rest of the Tier 1 nations. But yeah, at least they're dominating every win, and they can use this as good time to close out their season and blood some new players. So very nice to see Scotland come away with a convincing win like that, 6 tries. And yeah, well done.
Yeah, Ronnie, then we go over to Canada, who got a 35-22 win over Romania. Good to see Canada back onto the winning track in that one. Tight contest, not one that I was able to watch, though.
No, me neither, but this one I did get wrong. I thought in Romania's performance over the USA the week before, you know, it proved to me that, you know, they were here to play, and they would play very well, and they would beat Canada, but wasn't to be. So good on Canada. 35-22, it is a convincing win. Perhaps a little bit high scoring on both sides. You know, the defense needs a bit of work. Bring those total scores down.
Yeah, Ronnie, and the fact that you backed them is exactly why you're going to remain here at the bottom of the log.
That's a terrible joke.
Yeah. Take it. Ronnie, Samoa, 34-30 win over Spain. I don't think the Samoans will be very happy with that scoreline. That was a very close contest.
No, I don't think they will either. But well done to Spain. You know, to score 30 points against Samoa, well done. So Spain is definitely an up-and-coming and emerging side. You know, they were supposed to be in the World Cup if it wasn't for some COVID restrictions and miscommunications that occurred. But yeah, Spain definitely seems to be a country that we need to keep our eyes on.
So tell me, is Spain your second team, considering you're calling their country home at the moment?
They're going to hate me for saying this, but I was supporting England in the Euros.
I forgot about that. Ronnie, All Blacks 24-17 England. So Reza, I don't think, will be too comfortable with how his team fared against an English side that was deemed to be inferior to the All Blacks. If you listen to any of the Kiwi commentary, Borthwick, I think, can be quite happy with how his charges fared down there. They really pushed the All Blacks.
Yeah, I'd be pretty happy with the result. Look, obviously, how happy can you be with 2 losses? But I think England didn't go over there and get smashed, like a lot of people said they would. They performed really well. And look, they took the lead in the second test match and forced the All Blacks to really focus and you know, pull a win out of the hat here. So well done to, I think England can be very proud of what they were able to achieve.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Ronnie. So, I mean, it's a come-from-behind win for the All Blacks, but I have to ask you, you know, how's old Bodie looking there, buddy? He had quite a showing this weekend.
I don't know. Why are you asking me that question?
I don't know. It's not like you spent 2 to 3 seasons raving about Richie Mwenga.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. So I know why you're asking me this, because you forget that actually I have always claimed that Bowden is the best rugby player, or at the time, Bodie was the best rugby player in the world, but he was not the best fly-off in the world. And that is an important distinction to make. Bowden plays better at 15, and we did a brief analysis a couple of years ago where every minute that Bowden played 15, he was more valuable than when he played at 10. So anyways, for Bowden, well done. And the All Blacks definitely needed him, because without him, they would have probably lost this test match, I believe. So Bowden did really, really well. And again, playing his trade there at the back with Damien McKenzie running the show at 10, I thought that was quite giftig. And I think once the All Blacks get their ducks in a row and well-oiled again, they are going to be a monster to contend with.
Yeah, you can see the impressions of Razor's game plan starting to shine through there. But yeah, phenomenal showing from Bodie. He really brought it when the All Blacks needed it and made a huge contribution to the game for them. giving Razor a bit of a selection headache, actually, if you look at it. But Ronnie, another player I want to talk about, and it's because the people I was watching this game with kept asking, you know, is Mauro Itoje still good? You know, he used to be in the news so much and now you don't really hear about him. So I'm curious for your thoughts. You know, has he sort of lost that enforcer role and that aura that he used to carry in the England team and world rugby at large?
No, I don't think. I think, you know, Itoje is still a brilliant player. He was young and he had that energy, that youngster energy back in the day. So he was a lot more in your face and you could see it a lot more. But I think overall, the English teams and his players surrounding him, you know, they've also become a little bit more animated, and that's perhaps, you know, overshadowed Itoje's animation a little. But, you know, Itoje is still good. The reality is that there's just some brilliant locks around the world that have also stepped up to the plate. So he's just one of many great locks at the moment. Look, he's still a very good player, and I'd still pick him if I was Steve Borthwick, because he is a menace for sure.
No, definitely a quality player, but I do think that aura, you know, that enforcer aura that he used to carry has faded a little bit. I think he will admit he's not up to the same form that he used to be.
He's older.
Yeah, so yeah, Itoje not really carrying that same weight in the England team, I don't feel. Ronnie, over to Joe Schmidt's Wallabies, who beat Wales 36 points to 28, recording their first consecutive wins since 2021. That was a stat that shocked me a little bit.
Yeah, and not only that, they have the current longest active win record with 3 games, the Wallabies. So well done if you're Australia.
There we go. Can you believe we're saying this about the Wallabies now? So James Slipper, you know, good old Pantofel, he's filling in at captain at the moment, so he'll be chuffed with that win. They made 5 changes to the team. So Joe Schmidt is casting the net a little bit wide, even remarking that he'll probably look to make another 5 changes to the team for their next game. You know, he's still going to be trying to figure out who his best squad is as well. So yeah, great to see that the Wallabies are returning to winning ways.
Yeah, and we obviously, of course, we need that because they are the host of the next World Cup, and you don't want your host to fall out like England did in 2000, whatever it was. So come on, Wallabies, we expect to join your Southern Hemisphere brothers and do really well.
Yeah, so what do you make of Warren Gatland? Is he severely under pressure now? Because this is 11 losses in a row for the Welsh.
Yeah, look, I don't think his situation has changed week on week, right? So yeah, 11 losses on the trot, it's not good. You want to turn things around. But the reality is he is, and we say this every week, they're in an incredibly big rebuilding phase. They've scrapped a lot of their players. They've started anew. They've got new youngsters in. So look, they're going to struggle for a long while and, you know, possibly even drop to 12, 13 in the world before they start turning things around.
But at this point, you have to imagine there's some pressure mounting on Gats because, yeah, you can be rebuilding, but 11 losses is a tough record to present to your employers, you know, and the guys funding this project.
Yeah, well, he's left and he's come back and he's done, and so he can do it again, right? The Wales seem to have a good, they seem to love Gatland, right? So I probably would have not brought Gatland back the second time around. I would have left him where he was and I would have just got a new coach in for Wales, a new era, if you will. But yeah, look, they seem to love Gatland. They're sticking with it.
Ronnie, then over to another coach that is going to be under pressure, and it's the winless Eddie Jones. Japan going down to Georgia, 23 points to 25. Historic win for the Georgians there. And Eddie struggling to notch something up for the Japanese after failing with the Wallabies too.
Yeah. You know, big mouth Eddie. I still enjoy him very much, and I still think he's good for the game. But yeah, he obviously got this one wrong. He backs his boys a lot, which is good. You need to do that as a coach. But his players don't seem to be living up to his expectation.
Yeah, that seems to be the case there. And I'm sure he's going to be under pressure to produce because it's not like he's playing the top tier nations at the moment and losing to them. A loss to Georgia is going to hurt his credentials, that's for sure. But well done to the Georgians. Very good win for them. Ronnie, then to our neighbors down here in Africa, Namibia hosted Portugal this weekend before the Portuguese come to face the Boca. They went down at home 22 points to 37, a 4-1 victory for the Portuguese team.
Yeah, you know, good kicking performance on the part of Namibia as well. So that's something they can be proud of. But yes, the dominant performance by Portugal overall, 4 tries, it's not nothing. So you know, we've got to be very careful. And as the question was put to Pepsi Buthelezi in today's conference, you know, Portugal have the potential of being a banana peel, and really hope that they aren't. So Springbok's got to focus for the upcoming match. But Portugal, yeah, that's a brilliant result for them.
Yeah, I mean, the last time Portugal was in Namibia to play was in 1990, and they lost 86-9. I mean, hard to draw comparisons back that far, but definitely a good win for them. For a side that features regularly in the World Cup in Namibia, they'll be disappointed with that loss. The one thing that concerned me from the Portugal side was the number of penalties they gave away and that Namibia was able to slot over, you know, to stay in touch for a large portion of the game. So they'll have to clean up around the breakdown before they face the Bokke and Bloemfontein this weekend. Then, Ronnie, the game we all want to talk about. The box went down.
I don't want to talk about
it. True. True. It's a tough one to talk about. So the Bokke went down in Durban and they lost 24-25 against Ireland, with Ireland stealing it right at the death. But Ronnie, the problems all started right in the beginning. And that was when the South Africans all decided that they were going to sing the Irish national anthem. Now, I love the anthem. I find it very catchy, but you will never find me singing it for the Irish before they face our team. Like, Why give them any more edge than they need?
Yeah, so my mom actually told me that she sang the Irish anthem the other day at Loftus. And I gave her a bit of crap about that. And she said, such a nice song, everybody sang it. So yeah, I don't really know what that's about. Although you do sometimes look over at me in our previous games and find me singing the other anthem. But it's just because it's so catchy.
Yeah, so that gave the Irish a little bit of a boost. I was really impressed with Jamie Osborne at fullback for the Irish over this series. Hey, Ronnie, it's a player that I picked out in the beginning as someone that would really struggle. You know, debut was at Loftus for him at 15. The Box loved their kicking game, and he handled it perfectly.
Yeah, obviously a number of players that Ireland are looking to cement as their, you know, corner senior players and attack options. And Jamie Osborne, you know, stepping up to the plate, I agree with you. For me, I didn't really know what to make of him. And now he's obviously stepped in now and he's put his hand up and said, look, I could potentially be one of the regulars going forward.
Yeah, and I think people gave Conor Murray a lot of grief going into this game, saying he's old at 9 and they're going to struggle without Gibson Park. And then Creasy was out concussed. But Conor Murray's experience really paid dividends for the Irish in this one. He kept them calm. He kept them in it. Kept the back line on the front foot with some crisp passing. So well done to him as well. But I think ultimate credit has to go to both Irish 10s, eh? Crawley starting in the beginning, 4 out of 4 kicks at post. That kept the pressure on the box when the Irish led in the game. And then Kieran Frawley coming on and slotting 2 drop goals. Yeah, pretty impressive stuff from their young 10s. And Johnny Sexton wasn't really missed if you look at that.
Yeah, and you said it there, right? So the Irish and a lot of the world have been asking what happens after Sexton, and we have our answer. You know, these two oaks can really step it up, and to have the guts to go for 2 drop goals, especially after, you know, what happened when they went for a drop goal in the Champions Cup final where it didn't pay off. You know, Frawley, he stepped up to the plate and got against us as the world champions, you know, in front of a home crowd, you know, a home South African crowd. It's intimidating, and he didn't give a damn. He did it, and he did it well.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have to say, from the stadium perspective, and when I rewatched the game afterwards, the Irish absolutely bullied us physically in that first 40 minutes. It was intense, and their whole pack deserves applause for how they brought it in this one. They really stood up, carried the game forward, and put us under an immense amount of pressure.
Yeah, and like a lot of people have said, they did to us what we usually do to other sides. And with that said, like, I haven't seen that much blood in a single half of rugby ever. Like, there was so much blood in that game from players that don't usually bleed. So
yeah.
So the Irish brought it to us. And coming out of the sort of rumor mill, and that is definitely a rumor mill, is that when Erkie Snyman took out the 9 at Loftus, and, you know, Andy Farrell was upset with his Irish side, for not picking a fight with the South Africans and backing, and you know, the fact that their player had been taken out. So what Andy Farrell expected of his players was that they step up and they fight and they push and shove and don't just get walked over, which is what his impression was of the Loftus game.
Yeah, well, if that was what he told them, they certainly listened to him, because they were in our faces and they did not go away. So I think we need to give credit where it's due. We faced a very strong and quality Irish side. I know I put out a shitload of banter against the Irish on Punted over the few weeks leading up, but I hope any Irish listeners we have know that that's more just for the fun of it and nothing vindictive. And I'm ready to turn that on to the Wallabies and Lackey over at, I'm ready to give the Wallabies some shit as we head into games for them. So nothing personal, guys. Well done. And thanks for a lack of series down here. But let's talk about it from the box perspective then, Ronnie. So we definitely missed Willie LaRue. He went off in the second minute with concussion after trying to tackle James Lowe. I think the Bulls missed him in the URC final, and we missed him tremendously in this game as well. Our attack looked blunt when Willie left the field.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. You know, we have these flash in the pan performances from others that are not Willie LaRue, but Willie LaRue consistently brings a solid attack week in, week out. I actually can't believe I'm saying this, because I was definitely wrong. Many years ago, I was not a big fan of Willie, but I have to say, he's going to be sorely missed. And I really hope that, man, I don't know. I don't know how long he can still play for us, but yeah, absolutely. Willie's great, and we need him, and we need somebody, you know, be it Sasha, be it Damien Villas, be it whoever, to fill that role of Willie. And I don't know who it's going to be.
And I mean, taking nothing away from Sasha here, because he had a tremendous performance on the day, but he himself said, you know, I can tackle, I can run with the ball, and I can do all of that, but I'm really trying to work on my skills to mirror what Willie does, and the information he's constantly giving to his backs on positioning and where the wing should be and when he enters the line and stuff like that. Sasha himself said, you know, that's something I really need to work on. And that's something that comes with experience as well. Philly's almost a test centurion for the Springboks. He's had loads of time to settle into that role. And I'm sure in time, Sasha will as well. But I mean, huge credit to Sasha. He did the Edwell van der Merwe double tackle as well to save a try. Because how were the Irish peppering Kirkley Aronson in this game? They really singled him out.
Yeah, look, I'll take your word for it. I didn't notice that myself. But you're right. So Ireland seemed to figure out a way of breaking us down and disrupting our game plan. And you know, if one of the ways was to pepper, like you say, Kirkley Aronson, then that's what they did. They did their homework. They learned from Loftus and they put up a you know, something that they could be proud of. And with that said, you know, as a Springbok fan, I'm not actually too sad that we lost, right? Because we went down to a deserving winner, and that's great for world rugby.
Yep, absolutely there, Ronnie. So Pollard, he managed to nail all his kicks in this test, so guys will be happy about that. But he was turned over twice in contact, and a lot of people saying he lacked the general skills to play the Tony Brown style of play. I think that's a little bit harsh on Polly.
Yeah, well, look, Polly is a South African traditional 10, right? So he's big, he's physical, he's got kicks well. And he's perhaps maybe he doesn't fit the Tony Brown mold of what a 10 should be. But that's not to say he can't do it. He can pick up his socks and he can do that. I see a lot of people are calling for Marnie to return. Yeah, look, if we could just merge Marnie and Pollard into one brilliant person, yes, I would be so chuffed. And because Marnie perhaps does fit the attacking 10 mold from Tony Brown a bit better. But man's nerves gets in the way of his kicking.
Yeah, no, that's true. Ronnie, what did you make of the Fuff grubber on our line? Like, honestly, what on earth was that? Why did you grubber the ball? When I saw that happen, I was like, oh, we must have advantage. And then realized we didn't.
Yeah, so there's a number of times now in this game and in the previous game where the guys are kicking, you know, kicks that I would deem to be dead giveaways, right? So they're kicking into the 22, into the dead ball area from their own line. You know, I would never typically kick in those times. And I wonder what's happening here. It's almost like when we roll the clock back 5 years, where our wingers were rushing up and trying to cut off the outside pass and then getting caught out of place a lot. And we were all like complaining about how bad that was, and then ultimately it worked out. So I seem to think that there's there's something going on with our nines and tens at the moment, where they're trying these small little kicks to see where it works and where it doesn't work, so that, you know, it becomes one of our tools to use later on.
I certainly hope you're right there, Ronnie, because that felt like a big waste of possession in a crucial position on the field. But Grant Williams then comes on and had a cracker. He really brings pace to the game, and I think he's pushing very hard to take that nine jersey at the moment.
I agree with you there, and he does an exceptionally well job of it. So I feel a little bit sorry for Kobus Reinach, because I love Kobus Reinach as a player, and I think he's a brilliant player, and in most countries he'd be the first choice nine. But then he has to contend with the likes of Grant Williams and with Faf de Klerk, experience of Faf. So, you know, we're blessed as South Africans to have this problem of, you know, which incredible scrum off do we actually choose now?
No, very, very true. Ronnie, over to the last game of the weekend then was Argentina 33, France 25. So Los Pumas getting a win there, 5-3, getting revenge for the week before. But ultimately, I think this is a tour to forget for the French.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate. I'm sure they will want to forget it.
Are we going to take a look over then to this weekend's fixtures? A few fewer of them, but still some pretty good games coming up. So first up, we have the All Blacks taking on Fiji. They're traveling over to America for this game, spreading the game far and wide. What is your pick there, Ronald?
Is that right? They're flying over to America. I thought they were flying over to Fiji.
Nope, to the US of A.
That's an interesting one. So at 4:30 in the morning, a bit of a strange time, of course, but yeah, why not?
So what is your pick?
Is that what you asked me? I'm still a little bit shocked about the fact that they're playing this in the States. I'm going to go with Fiji.
Okay, Fiji. Trying to throw everyone off so you can get off the bottom of the Super Brew log, hey, Ronald.
Yeah, well, look, I haven't had a very successful Super Brew run in a couple of weeks now, so I'm going to back Fiji.
You made me doubt myself, but I've just checked it. They're playing in San Diego, so yeah, it is in the US of A.
Okay.
Ronnie, Wallabies versus Georgia, 7:45 a.m. kickoff. I'm going to say that the Wallabies are going to take this one by 10 points.
Georgia.
Yeah, guys, don't listen to Ronnie if you plan on doing well in Super Brew this weekend. He can offer you at best last place on the log. I don't even want to ask you the next one because I know this is a ridiculous answer. Who's winning this, Ronnie? Tonga or Spain at 9:30 on Saturday morning?
The fans.
The fans are going to win this one. Okay, so it's going to be...
The fans will be winning this one. No, Spain's going to win this.
God, here we go. Okay, for reasonable people, I think you can back Tonga for about a 6-8 point victory in this game. Ronnie, Chile versus Scotland. I'm guessing now you're going to say, you know, Argentina's going to win this one.
Yeah, I just don't think the Scottish handle spicy food very well, so Chile.
yeah, Ronald. Scotland's going to take this one, I'd say, by a comfortable 40-50 points, if not more, after what they did to Canada. And then lastly, you know, just for the sake of the comedy of tonight, who's taking Uruguay versus Argentina at 9 p.m., Ronald?
Uruguay. No, they're going to take it. It's going to be interesting. I've picked all the underdogs here, of course. Let's see how many points I get compared to you, who picked the other.
You're going to get 0 points, like no.
Zero? No ways. So Georgia versus Wallabies. Look, we all think that Joe Schmidt's doing a very good job there, but he's been playing a very, underwhelming Welsh side. So who knows? Maybe Georgia, who've just beaten Japan, you know, they're firing on all cylinders. Maybe they could pull off an upset. Tonga versus Spain. You know, we just saw Spain lose to Samoa by 4 points. And I would argue that maybe they could pull off an upset against Tonga here. Okay, Chile, Scotland. Look, I agree with you. Scotland, they're going to come away with a win there. And maybe Uruguay as well. But look, Tonga, Spain, Wallabies, Georgia. You know, that's where my money's at.
Yes, you've had some giggle juice this afternoon by the looks of it. And then, Ronnie, the big Bok game going on in Bloemfontein, Boks versus Portugal. Firstly, can I just say, I love the Cheetahs and what they've done. We're getting the Hivos Fantastis before the game, Van Pletsen, and Biggie. I mean, that's going to be a lacquer day out in Bloem.
Sounds like a Tuesday night in Pretoria.
Yeah, back in square days, Ronnie? So that game's kicking off at 5 p.m. The Bok 23 has been named. quite a number of new faces there, and we'll go through the team shortly. But what do you make of Salman Murat being named as captain, Ronnie? He's the 66th Springbok captain. That one was quite surprising for me, considering the team features Lukanyo Am.
Agreed. And I was also a little bit surprised by that one. But the reality is, Salman Murat is the captain of the Stormers. So he's a leader in his boys' franchise. And Rusty seems to be very impressed with what Salman Murat's doing right now. So he seems to know something that potentially some of us don't. I'll back him. And well done, Salman Murat, for being named captain.
So, yeah, I mean, it's good to see him getting an opportunity. I didn't expect him to be named at captain at all for this fixture. And a couple of people making some remarks on social media that we're playing around with the captaincy a bit too much, because it's the third captain in our four games this year. So, you know, Rassie's never shied away from expanding the squad depth, and I think this probably just falls into that category.
Well, the reality is that, you know, there's never been one captain, right? There has been Sia, the official captain on the piece of paper, but the team isn't set up to follow one guy.
So, I mean, the last 2 weeks we were ranting and raving about how great the Bok depth was and how experienced our side was. Last weekend was the most experienced Springbok side ever named. And now this week, the starting team features only 228 caps and 75 further caps on the bench. The backline's average is only 23 tests, with the forwards averaging only 8. So a lot of change coming in this side, Ronnie.
Yeah, look, I have to agree with you. I was a little bit surprised when I saw it was only at 228, because there's some incredible players in that side. You know, at least 80% of that side, forms part of the weekly Braai argument or Braai debate. You know, where they're saying, oh, no, after Estes should be in the side, Marnie Leboek should be in the side. You know, you list all of these players and somebody around the Braai somewhere is arguing for their inclusion in what would be deemed the so-called first team side. But look, that's good, because every single one of these players are bloody brilliant. So, well done.
So, Ronnie, the front row features a debut for Jan-Hendrik Wessels, as well as Johan Grobbelaar at hooker. And then Thomas the Tank du Toit is featuring three, the first time the World Cup winners getting some game time this year. I think that's a decently solid front row.
Yeah, and this is the perfect game for them to sort of stretch their legs to sort of try out and gain a bit of confidence.
Then a lock pairing of Salman Murat, who we've said is going to be the captain, along with Arjia Snyman getting a start after having played almost a full game last weekend.
Yeah, it's a mean lock pairing, of course. Look, Arjia Snyman, you could put Fafta, you could put Shane Williams and Arjia Snyman as a lock pairing, and you'd still say it's a mean lock pairing. You know, Arjia Snyman does enough for the both of them. So, I feel sorry for Portugal to be facing Arjia.
Yeah, you're not wrong there at all, Ronnie. Then I'm very excited for Pepsi Buthelezi getting his debut for the Springboks at 6. Ben Jason Dixon at 7 having debuted against Wales. And Ivan Roos getting another crack at the number 8 jersey. Pretty decent and mobile loose trio that, Ronnie.
Absolutely exciting, right? So three players that we don't typically see in the Bok squad. So it's a new era working towards 2027. Who knows? Maybe two out of these three or all three of them will be there in 2027.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep our eyes on that for sure. Ronnie, the backline for me is really exciting, because this is a backline that has the potential to run Portugal ragged. It's all the players that love to have ball in hand, that are real ballers on the pitch. So Kobus Reinach at 9, Marnie Leboek at 10. You've got Mapimpi and Kirkley Arendse on the wings, Fassi at fullback, and then a center pairing of André Esterhazen and Lukanyo Am. What an exciting back line.
Agreed. And like I said, so many of those players, you know, at some point were the first choice for, you know, across all potential players. And they're being called up to this side. So very good players, very exciting players. And, you know, Portugal's going to be up against it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly like you say there, there was never a time 2 years ago where you would have said, yeah, Lukanyo Am's in the Bok sort of B team, because he's so bloody good. But Jesse Creel is just doing such good work in the 13 jersey. And there's such competition in the squad. It's unreal.
Yeah, and like Rashi said in his press conference, you could play you could play this side against Ireland, and you know, it would be, you know, it'd be a challenge for Ireland as well. So we're very blessed. We basically have two full squads that can call on at any time. So that's good if you're a Springbok.
So Ronnie, then on the forwards on the bench, we have Andre Hugo Fenta, Ntuthuko Mchunu, Trevor Nyakane, Ruan Fenta, and Ulrich Lowe. We've gone for a 5-3 split in this game.
Yeah, perhaps the expectation that it won't be as physical, right? So we don't need the extra forward or the extra two forwards. So we're happy to stick with a typical 5-3 split. So, you know, what more is there to say? That, you know, the guys have their opportunity now against Portugal and to build a bit of momentum before the championship starts now.
Yeah, then potential debuts for Morne van den Berg and Quan Horn, the Lions pairing, and rounding out that bench is Sasha Ngomazulu. So very excited to see what these guys can produce. Lots of opportunities being dished out here, and now it's up to the players to grab it with both hands.
Absolutely.
What's your prediction on this game, Ronnie?
I'll get punched if I say Portugal, right?
Yeah, let's not be that ridiculous.
So Springboks, of course, it's a no-brainer. Well, it's not a no-brainer. I don't want to jinx things now. But look, we're back in the box. We expect them to come away with a win here. I'm going to say by 58.
Yeah, I'm looking at somewhere around the 42-point mark for the box. So let's see what comes of this, Ronnie. Then, great to see that Kanan Moody is making a return to the Springbok squad after this week, having recovered from the injury he sustained in the URC semis. But a big injury list from the box now after that physical game against Ireland. Malcolm Marks fractured his tibia in that crocodile roll, so he's out injured again. Peter Steph de Toy is out for 4 to 6 weeks as well with an injury. Franco Mostert Sos broke his leg in that game, so he's out for at least 6 weeks. Cheslin Kolbe's out with a thigh injury until at least the second test against Australia. And then Edwell van der Merwe suffering injury in the Currie Cup for the Lions. He's now out for 6 weeks as well. So paying the toll there, Ronnie, for that physical battle.
Yeah, and this is the start of our international season. So yeah, it is unfortunate, but look, we're not playing the medium-term game. We're playing the long-term game, and that's 2027. So as long as these guys are ready for 2027, I'm happy.
For sure. Then, Ronnie, we gave the Irish a lot of shit, but sometimes you got to give credit where credit's due. And the May Fokchom moment of the week is going to Kieran Frawley for the drop goal to win the test in Durban. And drawing the series, what a big moment from a very young 10. It's not often that they can step up to the plate so comprehensively for their side.
And not just that, also winning the Rayburn Shield for Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland getting the Rayburn Shield too on top of that. So, well done, Kieran Frawley, and well done to Ireland for a big win down in Durban. Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fokchom, dit was lekker.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.